Now broadcasting the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show, positioning your business with strategies for an extraordinary future. Dr. Nilda features expert guests from diverse backgrounds to bring you their stories and strategies that have helped them reach their success. The diversity in industries gives you that panoramic view from an array of industries. They are innovators, thought leaders, trendsetters, and strategists. Here, Dr. Nilda reveals strategies that will position you to be on the cutting edge and be able to do what you love with the people you like, making the profits you want to live the lifestyle that you have dreamed of. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nilda Perez.
Hello, and welcome back to the Foresight Strategies Show. We have another really, really awesome guest today. Today, we're going to be talking to Dr. Alice Cash. She's one of the world's leading clinical musicologists. She holds a bachelor's and a master's degree in piano performance. She has a master's in social work and a PhD in musicology. In 2005, after 15 years of doing research and clinical work using music with surgical patients, she had an idea. The idea was to create cordless headphones preloaded with the perfect music for patients having surgery. In 2008, Dr. Cash received her U.S. patent for her proprietary process for choosing the perfect music for the perioperative period. 2018, these headphones are now being used in hospitals around the world. So we want to welcome Dr. Cash. I'm excited to have you on the show because I think this is a topic that is probably very, very rare. Your background is fascinating. So I'm just really excited to have you here. Very happy that you're a fellow social worker, as I am. But yes. You're also a futurist. So you're a fellow futurist. And so this is incredible. I love it. So my first question, what made you even think about creating a preloaded headphone?
I'd love to tell you all about it. I had been using originally CDs with a Walkman with patients. In the early 90s, I was working at a hospital in Louisville, Kentucky, and I realized that many people were scared to death about their upcoming surgery and afraid they wouldn't wake up and that the anesthetic wouldn't work and they would feel it and nobody would know and all of that. So I was creating, well, originally I was actually creating tapes for people, cassette tapes. And I had the Walkman and I would put together a playlist of their favorite relaxing music. Right. Then the farther I got into it by the late 90s, I was thinking, you know, instrumental music is probably better than songs that have lyrics because they start thinking about the words and they start thinking about things that could be not that relaxing. So how about let's just use instrumental music? And originally it was mostly classical, Paco Bell Canon and, you know, some of the beautiful Bach adagios and Baroque adagios. And I had this idea originally to make a set of CDs that my hospital could market internationally as the Jewish Hospital East CD for surgery, and then just market it all around the world. But people really, surprisingly, did not get it that much. So I just kept doing what I was doing, creating CDs for each surgery patient. And then I went to this wonderful workshop that was put on by NSA, the National Speakers Association.
Yes, I know them well.
They had an event in 2005 that was called Cancun University. And I thought, oh, I definitely need to go to that. So it was a university where you could major and minor in one thing, and it was just a week. But they had some of the biggest names in marketing and internet marketing especially. And so my major was product innovation, and my minor was internet marketing. So my teacher in the product innovation was a man named Don Booty, and he was an inventor in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, I want you all to think about something very simple, but that solves a universal problem. And he said, for example, think of the guy that invented the cardboard collar for hot coffee. He said, that guy's probably retired on the beach by now, because everybody gives those cardboard collars and they probably cost less than a penny a piece. Right. And, but they're very, very useful and they're everywhere now. So he said, go back to your room tonight and think about what you could do. Well, immediately I was like, music for surgery. And within the very first hour, I thought, what about some headphones that would be waiting at the hospital that would already have the soothing, steady, relaxing music on them? And as soon as the person arrives the morning of surgery, they would just hand them those headphones.
Okay.
So I went back to the class the next day and I said, well, how do you think that would be? And he said, Alice, sounds great to me, but you need to go now and do an internet search and see if anybody has already done that.
Right.
So I went back that night and I did the search and I discovered, as far as I can tell, nobody else has ever done that. So he said, okay, then you file for a provisional patent.
Right.
So I, of course I had to hire a lawyer to help me do that.
Right.
And that was probably fall of 2005 after I had gone to this Cancun University in January of 2005. In October of 2008, I got the patent.
Oh, and, fabulous.
Oh, I know. Even though, you know, it seems like a long time, but it flew, because in the meantime, I was beginning a music and surgery blog and I was learning about how to do Twitter, all of my information there, and just getting the word out with social media every possible way I could. So after I had gotten the patent in October of 08, I went to the University of Louisville School of Engineering. And I talked with a professor of micro nanotechnology. And he said, Alice, I think there might be something on the market already that you could use. And he said, if you have a headphone built from scratch to your specifications, it's going to be $20,000. So I did not have $20,000. So I finally found one headphone online that had a built-in MP3 player. So then I had to find my proprietary music. So it would play cordlessly. It had a lithium battery in it.
Right.
And you just connect it to your laptop and drag and drop your proprietary music. So I had put together a playlist of lesser known classical piano pieces, because I thought, you know, if somebody knows Clair de Lune or Moonlight Sonata or some very familiar piece of music, and they happen to have a negative association with it because they played it on their recital in the eighth grade and had a memory slip, you do not want to be hearing that when you're pushed into surgery.
Right.
So I chose all classical miniatures that were lesser known. The average person would not know those, and they were all in public domain. So my proprietary list has nothing by anybody except me. I mean, I'm playing it.
Okay.
And other people are, I don't have to get by the rights, in other words. So I started out on a shoestring because that's all I had. So I bought this headphone online. I bought like a dozen of them. And I wasn't sure how to price them, but I priced them so that they would be affordable, but that also I could make a profit.
Right.
And I started selling them right away.
Okay.
And
okay.
Did that. I got a big order from the VA hospital in Louisville.
Oh.
And they also said, would you like us to do a study on this and see if it reduces opioid consumption, see if it reduces anxiety and things like that. So they did do a study, and it showed that it reduced pain perception by 20%. Which is huge. So that if you have less pain perception, you're not going to be asking for more opioids and more medication that's potentially addictive.
So are there research studies that from leading medical institutions on the benefits of music through headphones?
Yes. There are probably hundreds of studies, especially on the use of music before, during, and after surgery, or during the perioperative period. But quite a few of them more recently have said headphones are best. And there are studies from Yale, from Mayo Clinic, from hospitals around the world, reputable, you know, hospitals, that say, this is an easy intervention. You know, everybody should be doing this because the benefits are powerful, and yet it's very simple. You're not introducing any chemicals into the body. You're not using any sort of equipment that is expensive or dangerous. This is something that the nurses can do in the hospital, and then the patient can be taught to continue this once they get home.
And now the rate of the patient, like how fast did they recover and what was the outcome? You know, like, can you give us like a ratio?
Yeah. Well, it's not quite that cut and dry, you know, okay. It's more of an anecdotal report after the fact. When they send out a patient evaluation, the right. patient says, oh, this music has been wonderful. I'll lie on my couch in the afternoon and listen to it all the way through. Or I listen to it in the morning after I've, you know, gotten up and had breakfast, and it just calms me down because I have so many things I'm worried about with this recovery and time I've missed off from work and things like that. So, and that merges into the last question. So when I got a new business coach, he said, Alice, you need a model that is less expensive that the patient can be given at the hospital and send them home with this headphone and the music, just like you do your, you know, fuzzy socks, except they're much more powerful. I mean, they are actually medically, they have a medical benefit, not just a comfort benefit, but they also have the comfort benefit.
Okay. So then I'm fascinated by this. So when the patient comes in, is the purpose of the music to relax them, or does it even help with anesthesia? Do they find that they're giving less anesthesia? Do they find that the client or the patient reacts better?
You know, all the above. Really? All the above. I would say the easiest first benefit is taking anxiety way down. Because when they arrive at the hospital, if they don't have the headphones, the heart is beating really fast, the breathing is shallow and rapid, like when you're having a panic attack or something. And I have seen people put them on for the first time and they're like, ah, oh, this is great.
Okay. So I know that you have a music background, and clearly you've always loved music, but what made you make that connection between patients, surgery, music, and how did you come? Because there's a lot of musicians out there, and not
right,
everyone comes up with it. So,
okay. Well, I think probably the biggest factor was that when I got my PhD in musicology in 1990, I was offered this fantastic job about 9 months later, or no, 4 months later, at the University of Louisville School of Medicine, Department of Psychiatry, Division of Arts and Medicine. So I was plopped down into an arts and medicine program, and I was the music person. So I was given access to all of these wonderful books and people, and the books were about music therapy.
Oh.
And see, I'm not a music therapist because I don't have a degree. You have to have a degree in music therapy. And in music therapy, the difference between that and music medicine, which is what I do, is that there is not a music therapist involved with every single person that uses my headphones. And in a way, that's a plus, because right. every hospital and every OR cannot have its own music therapist all day long. And most hospitals have at least 20 ORs going all day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. But that the nurses can be trained how to turn on the music, how to adjust the volume, how to place them on the patient's head. And then after that, the patient is in charge of them, you know, unless they're unconscious or in a lot of pain or something.
Right.
But that's why I realized after I got started that I needed to be marketing to hospitals really more than patients. So now I market to both of them.
Okay.
So if you find out you need to have some sort of surgery, you can instantly go to my website right now and have them overnighted to you. Or you can call the hospital and say, do you all provide the music headphones for surgery, the cordless ones?
What are some of the surgeries that they've used your headphones for?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. One of the best is joint replacements, because a knee replacement, a hip replacement, a shoulder replacement, they have drilling, sawing, and hammering.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of times they do not put the patient all the way out. They give them something like Versed, which is a hypnotic, so that they don't remember it, but they are not completely out because they need to talk to them. But when you have the headphones on, you can still hear the doctors and nurses ask you a question, but you don't hear, the other noises are greatly muffled, and you don't hear the conversations that the doctors and nurses are having where they say, ooh, this is worse than we thought. Patient doesn't need to hear that.
Right. Okay, also, that's fabulous. So if I, God forbid, but if I were ever to have knee surgery, hip surgery, I would ask for that, or is that provided freely in hospitals? How exactly does that work?
Well, you're going to have to call your hospital and ask if they have that for surgery patients. And if they don't, then you have to order one online from my company. And it's $97 for what we call the patient model, which is the one that's sent home with the patient. Okay. Some hospitals choose to buy what we call the hospital model, which can be reused between patients because it has disposable earpiece covers and you wipe down the band with antibacterial spray. Right. And it can be used unless the person has a greatly suppressed immune system, like a HIV patient or something.
Okay. So this is fascinating. This is so the way of the future, because the reality is that it's not just the actual music therapy, but you're actually using it in a way that it's genius. It's absolutely genius.
Like, thank you.
It is not, again, it's not something that the average person would think about, and yet you were able to make that connection, and that's huge. So, I know that you said you told me privately before this that you also do therapy. So right. You also have clients. How do you use the music therapy in that therapy, which I know must be amazing?
Well, it's very powerful, especially in relationship kinds of counseling where somebody is just broken up. I mean, there are so many songs that every couple associates with their relationship. You know, that the music that you fall in love to, the song that you first danced with that person to, you have your song. So sometimes we have to rewrite the words. Like, I'm sure you know the song Desperado.
Yes.
Desperado.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have strong associations with that, about come to your senses and all of that. So sometimes we rewrite song lyrics. We play it in session and talk about the feelings that come up, the memories, and how we're going to create some new memories that will take the sting out of those associations. I mean, doing that in conjunction with something like EMDR, I'm sure would be powerful. Now, I don't do EMDR, but I believe in it. I just can't get certified in so many things. Doing some of those energetic therapies along with the music. But I also do a lot of chemical dependency counseling and people who are just getting into recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. Music can be very, very powerful with that. And grief, processing grief with music, hymns, songs that person really loved, and that's some of the ways that I use it.
Okay, so you use this in your sessions, and people could also buy. So if somebody is grieving, and music, of course, is pretty, I think that's pretty awesome. So they can use this music. They would have to buy that from you so that they can continue the therapy on their own. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, theoretically, that could happen. Usually, we do all of the music listening in session and not with headphones, just with the CD player. Or, I mean, if they put together a playlist that's the favorite songs of the person that just passed away or something. I mean, there are a lot of different ways you could do it. But usually, the headphones I just use with people in surgery. But I take that back. I had a lady who came to me for serious insomnia. And she actually bought one of the surgery headphones and used that music just to treat her insomnia. And she said, Alice, I got the first good night's sleep in 2 years.
That would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
That would make perfect sense. Okay. Oh, fantastic.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So would you find that you do music therapy or music medicine?
Well, I cannot say that I do music therapy because I'm not a music therapist. And they are very strict about that because they believe that music therapy is only one-on-one work with the client. And that playing music for people in a recorded way is not music therapy. It may be therapeutic, you know, but that you can't say that that's music therapy unless you are a music therapist.
Okay. Again, it's semantics. I mean,
that's how I feel.
Yeah, exactly. Because what you're actually doing is, I've had surgery, nothing major, but I've had surgery and I would have definitely would have loved this music. And I'm not a fearful type person, but it's really, it's a whole different experience when you're on your back and you're walking into a cold room that, you know, that they're going to, you know, pretty much like put you out and then open your guts.
Scary. I mean, a little daunting.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not a fearful person. Like I'm not a person that, you know, lives in fear. Like I'm pretty good. And it, those circumstances are not comfortable.
You're right. And another area that's so common is dentistry. I mean, nobody wants to go to the dentist and that drill and be on your back in a totally helpless.
Compromising, right, exactly.
And a stranger right down in your face, you know, drilling on you and you're waiting for pain to strike. And I mean, it's a horrible experience. So anything I could do to help dental surgery people, I would love to do.
That is the first thing that I thought of when I heard of the headphones and the music. I was like, oh, wow, that would like ease my pain, as I think mentally more so at a dentist. You know, I didn't think in a surgery, but definitely that's to me.
Yeah, just a cavity, you know, just having a filling, it would be helpful. Yeah. And a lot of dentists seem to have like a radio playing on a shelf, or my dentist used to have a TV on the ceiling and a TV in the corner. And he would have sometimes travelogues or things that would just sort of distract you. Mm-hmm. But I think when you have music, if for some reason, when you're listening to music through headphones, you want to close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, you just start, let go of that tension. You know, it just starts melting away.
You drift.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. That's absolutely. So to really... I think this needs to be something that has to be implemented in almost any, I want to say, compromising situation. Yes. So that may be medical, that can be, there's so many different areas that this can be used because it's fearful. And I think the idea is amazing. I think, like you said, that music is very relaxing and it changes, it just brings you into a different world.
It does.
Whether you love the music or not, because for me, heavy metal endlessly increases my anxiety.
Right.
And so the music really does, you have experiences with each of these music types. So I think that this is excellent. It's something that should definitely be more, you know, spread. So. Available everywhere. Absolutely. Absolutely. So in a case like this, how do you market? And this is probably more Rachel's question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, yeah. I would love to address that because I started out, I have an e-zine. If you remember when e-zines used to be really popular, like 2001, I started one then. And I have another website called Healing Music Enterprises. That I don't think I've sent you all. The main one now is surgicalserenitysolutions.com.
Okay.
But before I even went to Cancun U and had the idea, I sent out an e-zine every month and I had a mailing list. And that was my beginning marketing. Then once I began to understand about Facebook, the power of Facebook, I have a page just for Surgical Serenity.
Okay.
And I have a Twitter account that's just for... Music 4, number 4, surgery at Twitter, you know.
Okay.
And now I have Instagram. And when I go out to speak, I am a speaker. That's why I belong to the National Speakers Association. I market myself on my page as a music with surgery, music through the lifespan, lullabies and mother-baby bonding, music for memory care. And so I do blog posts, tweets, Instagram, all of those things. But basically, I use all the free ones because I don't have any budget for marketing.
So you basically market yourself as the expert.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's excellent. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you a little story. A friend of mine had her mom in a nursing home who just sadly very recently passed away. And one of the things she had Alzheimer, full blown dementia. Mm-hmm. And she found, she learned was when she would come in and she would play music for her mother from the old boleros, Spanish boleros.
Oh yeah.
She says that her mom would like open her eyes and she says she made a connection with that music.
Right, right.
And one of the biggest problems that she had, and maybe here goes for you, you can probably solve this problem. One of the biggest problems that she had was that she can play the music while she was there, but when she wasn't there anymore, the music wasn't played. So she just said, she really believed that she didn't think her mom would make a drastic change or get 100% better, but she did see a difference even in her agitation. She says, I don't know if she's in pain or uncomfortable, but I see a difference when I play the music. So that's another amazing market.
Right. Yes.
Well, it is. It is. And people have asked me, because there have been a lot of things in the news about Alzheimer's patients that come to life when they put headphones on them and play the music of their courting years. And that's what we say in the literature for my Music with Memory Care CD, that it's the music of a person's courting years, that when they're elderly, that is the most powerful music because it takes them back to a time in their life when they were healthy and they were falling in love and they were going places. And I have a similar story, Dr. Nelda, that I'll tell you. I went to do a talk in Hawaii, and I was in Maui at this wonderful place called the Ohana Connection, and Ohana means family. And after the lecture was over, this man raised his hand to ask a question, and he said, my mother has Alzheimer's. She's 90 or something.
Yes.
Every morning when I walk into her living room, she smiles, and I say to her, Mama, let's hula. And they get up and they do hula. And that's what makes her happy and relaxed and forget about her confusion and stuff. So it's like whatever your background is, that the music that you grew up with, the dances that you grew up with, that's what's important to have. And I've already told my kids, bring me the Beatles, bring me to Petula Clark. If God forbid that happens to me, here's what I want to be listening to.
Right. Makes sense. So we're going to be ending here. I want to thank you so much for sharing this information with us. This is great information. I love it. I really enjoyed it. And I think you're totally onto something. I love this.
Thank you.
And, again, as a futurist, as a doctor of medicine and music and social work, you've done a beautiful job of merging it all. And I really enjoyed this. And again, we will let them know, do you have a book? We can put that information there.
I'm working on one right now.
Okay. Well, you let us know when your book is ready and we'll have you back to talk about the book. Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you so much. You're it's really welcome. Been fun, and I appreciate your wanting to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much. Okay, guys. So we will see you next week. We'll be back again next week with another more information, another futurist with more information on things that really apply to you and your business and your career and your life. Okay. Until then, we will talk then, and I'll see you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Foresight Strategy Show. You can hear host Dr. Nilda, co-host Rachel with featured guests every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live or anytime on demand. Visit www.drnildaperez.com/show. For more information, sign up to our Foresight Strategies Insider newsletter, a $10 value for free, at www.drnildaperez.com/newsletter.